Do you have an idea for a podcast, but you don't know where to start? Maybe you're overwhelmed by all the tech or you're convinced nobody will actually listen to you. Well, I'm Shauna Game. After 9.5 years as a professional podcaster, at this show, Everyone's Talking Money, and 25 million downloads later, let me tell you the secret to a profitable podcast. It is building a solid foundation, your podcast roadmap before you launch. That's why I created the Podcaster Class, a fast-paced group cohort podcasting for profit 8-week style MBA program. The Podcaster Class is immersive, comprehensive, and insanely motivational. If you want to create a podcast, DIYing a launch is just not the way to go. In the Podcaster Class, you'll get the tools, tips, and strategies to create a podcast that resonates with listeners and one you can be proud of. Get this, 90% of podcasters never make it to episode 3. That's 2.8 million podcasters who just quit. So to be a top podcaster, you only need to publish 21 episodes, but you got to make them good. So in the Podcaster Class, I'm taking the mystery out of how to create, launch, and profit from your podcast so you can create a top 1% podcast just like this one. The May cohort is now open for enrollment. Classes start May 22nd. There are only 15 spots open. You are going to learn podcasting with me and 14 other amazing people. You can learn all the details at thepodcasterclass.com. Use code podcast when you sign up for $100 off. That's thepodcasterclass.com. You know I'm a big fan of enjoying life while still being smart financially. That's why I love ButcherBox. I can get a variety of high-quality meat, seafood, chicken, and pork at an amazing value, all with exclusive member deals delivered to my door with free shipping always. One thing I just never wanted to cut out of my spending plan is eating good food. And with ButcherBox, I don't have to, and neither do you. Where else can you get free protein for a whole year? Yes, you heard that right. One of my favorite go-to dinners is a salmon bowl. I'm not even a huge salmon lover, but ButcherBox's wild-caught salmon is oh so good. I make a nice little marinade, saute some veggies, cook the salmon, and throw in some Weiss. And it is an amazing dinner. If you want to take less trips to the grocery store and always have prepared meat in the freezer for a lot less money, you need ButcherBox in your life. Sign up at butcherbox.com/ETM and get our special deal. ButcherBox is offering our listeners a free for a year offer plus an additional $20 off. You can choose salmon, chicken breast, or steak tips free in every order for a year. Sign up today at butcherbox.com/ETM. I've sat elbow to elbow, knee to knee, looking eye to eye at so many different people over the last 12 plus years, working with them on their finances and really helping them get in a better relationship with their money. And I can tell you, regardless of income, whether they made $30,000 or $30 million, there are definitely some things that nobody tells you about money that I found out from sitting in those meetings knee to knee, eyeball to eyeball. I'm Shauna Compton-Game. This is Millennial Money. And today we're talking what nobody tells you about money.
Millennial Money with Shauna Compton-Game. It will expand your brain.
There's been so much going on behind the scenes at Millennial Money. I wish I could give you a snapshot of everything because we're doing a lot of cool things. At least I think they're cool things, right? But hopefully you think they're cool things as well. I've been doing a lot of podcast guesting, been on a lot of other podcasts, and it's funny, I love sharing my story. I love coming up on the fly with answers and talking about money and sharing other people's stories, sharing stories that we've talked about on the podcast, but I inevitably always get the question, what is your best piece of money advice? And, you know, thinking about trying to do different answers on each of those podcasts, so I'm not reiterating the exact same thing, but I'm always coming back to these things that nobody tells you about money, these misconceptions about money, these things that I have seen common between people, whether they make, like I teased in the opener, whether they make $30,000 or $30 million, it's these common things I think that we overlook and we think, well, either these are too foundational or, well, of course, Shauna, of course that makes sense. But, you know, the more I talk about them, the more I find light bulbs going off in people. And I thought, you know, this would be a good episode because I'm kind of going through the process myself. I'm writing my first book, at least actually the process to get an agent, which is the book proposal process, which is long and daunting. And I've started and stopped it many, many times over the last year. And sometimes I've just, you know, wanted to pull out my hair, complete frustrating. And I've lost my way several times. If you're an author and you're listening, I am honestly accepting all and any tips, advice, connections, anything you've got. I am your woman. You can feel free to just dish as much information as you have on me. I would totally appreciate it. But I've been listening to a ton of information, lots of different people that are in my sphere that have written books, talk about, you know, how to do it, quote unquote, right. What's the right way to write a book proposal? What's the right way to think about writing a book? And I really oscillated between, do I self-publish? Am I trying to get an agent and a publisher? And I spent like way too long thinking about that process and have come back to like, no, you know what? I'm going to go for an agent. I'm going to go for a publishing deal and just see what happens, see where the dice fall, if you will. But I've been really trying to think and refine what my point of view is, because the more advice I get, it always comes back to like, okay, what is your unique point of view? What are you all about? What makes you tick? And I started to think about like, okay, what makes you actually tune in to listen to the podcast or to come back and listen to more podcast episodes? You know, why do I get hired for this or that in relation to personal finance? What makes me really unique? And I think it sounds so simple. It's like, have you ever tried to write your own autobiography? It's really freaking hard because you think you're cool and awesome, of course, and you think you've done all these things. But then when you go down to write it on paper, I think that at least what I tend to do is oversimplify, and somebody else would come to write my bio and be like, oh, you did all of these cool things. You're not talking about any of these. It's just, it's really hard to think about yourself that way. And I think it's the same way when you're trying to figure out what your point of view is, especially for writing a book. It sounds so simple, but I've actually found this to be the hardest process. And actually, it's taken me the longest time to figure out, you know, what am I actually all about? why do you tune in to listen to this podcast? Because the reason you tune in to listen to the podcast is what I'm trying to encapsulate, to put into some sort of written form that's actually my point of view. And, you know, I really wanted to write a book about the real stuff, about my life, because it's been messy. And the more I've worked with people, the more I've seen, regardless of income, regardless of bank account balance, that theirs has also been messy or is messy, or there's a piece of it that just hasn't fit and they don't understand why. And I thought, my gosh, if I'm like that and I'm a quote unquote financial professional, I am, I'm a certified financial planner, but I'll be the first person to stand up and raise my hand and say, I have made so many mishaps. I'm not going to call them mistakes because I don't think they're ever mistakes, but there are certainly things I would go back and I would do differently, different choices I would make, maybe different directions I would go into. But I think we can all say that. I think you could probably say that too, that you've been at some intersection, especially when it comes to your finances. And it's like, I don't know, do I go right? Do I go left? Do I go straight? I don't know. I'm just going to pick a direction. And then you look back and think, oh, maybe I should have gone right instead of left or straight or whatever it may be. I think you hopefully can relate to that. And what I found is, regardless of income, regardless of bank account balance, regardless of expertise, regardless of whether somebody owns a business or not, or has a fancy degree from somewhere like Yale or Harvard, or just has a community college degree, that we all tend to find ourselves lost at some point in this messiness of trying to figure out, what's the right decision? Is there a right decision? What should I do? And, you know, when I started this podcast, I wanted to be really honest with you, to share stories, to show you that we're all so much alike, that you're a lot like me and I'm a lot like you, and we just don't talk about money. So how in the world would we ever know that? How would we ever know that we're all alike? Because we don't even like to talk about money with our partners. That's like a scary thing. We don't like to talk about it with our friends, certainly not our family. You might like to, but I don't like to talk about money with my family. It's like, whoa, we're not going to go there. We're not going to ask those questions, all right? Just take it on service. Everything's fine. I'm handling all the behind the scenes stuff. But I think at the end of the day, my point of view maybe is quite simple. Maybe you can help me with this. I think that it really is perfection, that word perfection when it comes to finances, when it comes to your money, when it comes to decisions is totally overrated. Totally overrated. I mean, we all make mistakes. We're all trying to figure out how we can have the version of the life that we want in all the twists and turns of life. Getting divorced, getting married, starting a business, starting a family, going back to school, dealing with massive debt. There's so many different things that come at us. Sometimes it feels like it comes faster than other times. I've certainly been in periods where I'm like, wait a minute, where is that hiding spot that I can go to where none of this stuff is going to hit me, is going to affect me, where I don't have to make any decisions? And it's always in those times where I have to make the most decisions and seemingly like the most critical decisions. And it's a confusing time period, but there isn't a set list of things to do with your money that equals success. And I talk about this a lot. I know you probably like, oh my gosh, she's going to go on this rant again. But I keep coming back to this. I keep coming back to this point because I think it's so important. And I almost feel like you can't hear it enough because I feel like I can't say it enough to people because every time I say it to somebody, it does, it clicks that light bulb off. Like, right, I'm trying to be perfect. I'm trying to make all these right decisions and it's causing more stress. It's causing more fear, or it's causing me to just be confused about my finances. Even if I'm in a really good position, even if I don't have debt, even if my income is thriving, even if all of those, you know, outside factors to somebody else might look really good, to me, it's still confusing. And I learned, you know, working with people that had really big estates, that had a lot of money, and it was like, well, they can't possibly have a money worry because they have more money than God, but they had a lot of money worries, probably more money worries than you and I have. Maybe they had more at stake. I don't know. It's really interesting, the psychology behind money, when you start looking at the psychology of why people think certain ways about money, why they make certain decisions, it's really interesting to peel that back and look at what the different onion layers are underneath and what has, I guess, you know, made this person think, act, and feel about money the way they do. But we all do it. We're all guilty of it one way or another, whether we're in a, you know, healthy relationship, I will say, with our finances, or maybe a not so healthy relationship, or maybe we're just in a completely confused relationship trying to figure out how you do this thing, because money touches everything. It touches our career, it touches our housing situation, touches our relationships, touches the things we buy, the things we do. It's at the cornerstone. And so I thought, okay, I'm going through this process, trying to write this book proposal and eventually this book, because I am going to write this book. And because I have something to say, and I think it's important. And I also think it's important that I share my story, more of my story, really honest, raw version of my story, because I think that maybe you can relate to it in some way. Maybe you can find some sense of victory by hearing my own story. But this all prompted me to do this podcast episode. And, you know, again, through doing a lot of podcast swaps lately, I thought, okay, I really want to refine, like, what are the things that nobody talks about with money that I know to be true because I've sat across from these people who are in these situations and I've seen these things firsthand. I've witnessed these conversations. I've been a part of these conversations. You know, sometimes there isn't a best choice or right choice. There's just choices. There's just options. You know, I think, especially when we're thinking about, you know, anything big, like paying off debt. Let's say you have a lot of student loan debt and you're trying to figure out, what in the world do I do with this? Well, there's not always a best choice. There's not always a, well, you should definitely do this. And I think that personal finance sometimes, because there are so many different articles and there's so much discussion about personal finance, it's great. It's creating this awesome culture where I dare I say there's like an enthusiasm for figuring out what to do with your finances. I love it. I love that there are alternative options for banking and for savings and for investing and all sorts of different, it's a different take on money. And it's really been a long time coming. And thank God it's here because we've all been screaming for this. I mean, I write a lot of articles about online bank accounts, and I think I've almost found one that I'm really thrilled about, but it's taken me a while because there's been pros and cons, as there is with anything. But I don't know if I necessarily am totally happy with my money at a big bank. I don't really like, you know, what they're, in the words of Janet Jackson, what have you done for me lately? Nothing. They haven't done anything for me lately. They haven't given me more interest on my checking account. I'm not thrilled about the savings account. I just have it because of necessity to move money back and forth. They don't know my name. I'm just an account number to them. And so all of these things, I went on a complete rant. I don't even know how to get back to where I started. But my point is, I think that it's great to have these healthy discussions about finances. I think it's a little bit dangerous to get in the mode of thinking that you have a list of certain things that you have to do, and if you don't do those things, you're not successful. And that's not to knock, because I've written plenty of articles and done plenty of podcasts about the 5 things to do this or the 10 things to do this. Those are great because they help you start thinking about your own situation. And, you know, you can pull apart the different pieces of that that really resonate with you. But I think getting your brain thinking that it's not so linear for your finances is a really good place to be, because it starts to take a little pressure off of you. And I think that because we don't talk about money a lot with other people, we tend to think that we're so isolated. So if I did name 5 things that I think no one tells you about money, but are the 5 key things that I've seen, you know, sitting knee to knee, eye to eye with hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people, I would say the first one is that you're not so unique. Your situation is not so different than somebody else. In fact, it may be exactly the same situation as one of your friends or, you know, your neighbor or your coworker or your cousin, or could be anybody. But the point is that you're not so unique. Your situation is not that different than anybody else's. And I think if you can embrace that, you can at least get to a place of realizing that I'm not alone. Whatever situation I'm in, whatever decision I have to make, millions and millions of other people at the exact same time are having to make that decision right alongside you. All right, so we're going to jump into our remaining list of things, but we have a quick short break from our podcast sponsor. You know, audiobooks are just such a great sidekick for summer activities. Everything from hiking, sunbathing on the beach, which is my personal favorite summer activity, running, road tripping, whether you're enjoying downtime outdoors or just hanging out. And I totally find that listening is a better way to binge content that you love while you're also doing the things that you love. We recently went on a really, really short 2-day cruise. It actually didn't stop anywhere, but it was still fantastic this past weekend. And my complete happy place was on the balcony listening to my new awesome book on Audible, called Invested by Danielle Towne. She's actually going to be on the podcast next week, in fact, and I cannot wait to share that interview with you. But with Audible, you can listen to more books by switching seamlessly between all your devices and picking up just where you left off. This is awesome for anybody who is just constantly on the go. And Audible members, you get a credit every month good for any audiobook in their store, regardless of the price. And the cool thing is the unused credits roll over to the next month, so it's great for your bank account too. If you didn't like a book, you can just exchange it with no questions. But don't take my word for it. Check out Audible yourself and join me on my one book a month quest. Audible is offering Millennial Money listeners a free audiobook with a 30-day trial membership. Just go to audible.com/mymoney and browse the unmatched selection of audio programs. Download a title for free and start listening today. Go to audible.com/mymoney or text mymoney to 500-500 to get started today. In those moments when money is just not moving as fast as your dreams, Earnin provides the financial momentum you need to keep moving forward. Earnin is an app that gives you access to your pay as you work, up to $100 per day or up to $750 per pay period. You just download the Earnin app and verify your paycheck. Then you access up to $100 a day as you work, and you can leave an optional tip. Any money you access plus tips are automatically repaid from your next paycheck. I honestly would use Earnin in lots of different ways, but what's on my mind recently is I need a night out. I need some good tacos to sip on a few virgin margaritas and celebrate you all helping this podcast earn 26 million downloads. Make Earnin a part of your financial routine and join Earnin's over 3.5 million customers who say things like, "When I think about Earnin, I think about financial stability and security. Gives me a lot of peace of mind." Download Earnin today, spelled E-A-R-N-I-N, in the Google Play or Apple App Store. When you download the Earnin app, type in "Talkin' Money" under podcast when you sign up. It will really help the show. Talkin' Money under podcast. Earnin is a financial technology company, not a bank, subject to your available earnings, daily max, pay period max, and location. See earnin.com/TOS for details. Bank products are issued by Evolve Bank & Trust, member FDIC. Okay, friend, I want to know, what are your money goals this year? Are you saving to buy a house or maybe a wedding or a dream vacation to somewhere tropical? If that's you, please, please take me with you. Or maybe you want to just grow your emergency fund because, let's be real, life is expensive. I want to make sure you reach your goals, so you need Monarch. That's why the Wall Street Journal named it the best app for growing your savings. Monarch is the top-rated, all-in-one personal finance app. It gives you a comprehensive view of all your accounts, investments, transactions, and more. You can create custom budgets, track progress towards your financial goals, and collaborate with your partner. And now, get an extended 30-day free trial when you go to monarchmoney.com/ETM. Here's what I love. Monarch is the most customizable budgeting app. You can change the layout of your dashboard. You can go between light and dark mode. You can create custom budgets and notifications. You can set up all of these automatic rules for your transactions and notifications, and so much more. Monarch is obsessed with constantly improving their product. Get this. They release updates every 2 weeks, and they even allow customers to submit suggestions, vote on requested features, and view the product roadmap. This, my friend, is totally original. Plus, they will never sell your data to third party or show you ads. I think that's really important. After trying out Monarch for myself, I understand why it is the top-rated personal finance app. And now, listeners of this show get an extended 30-day free trial when you go to monarchmoney.com/ETM. That's monarchmoney.com/ETM for your extended 30-day free trial. I'm going to be real with you. Identity theft is on the rise, and you do not want to wake up one morning and discover that your bank account has been emptied, or you're overdue on credit cards you never even applied for. We talk about this often on the podcast, but you don't realize how much of your information is available to scammers on the internet and how susceptible you and your family are to identity theft and fraud. I know it's scary, but now you can get your data removed with Delete Me. That's why I personally choose Delete Me. Delete Me is a subscription service that removes your personal information from the largest people search databases on the web. and in the process helps prevent potential ID theft, doxing, and phishing scams. I just started using DeleteMe and I got my regular personalized privacy report. I was shocked what they found and removed. It was pages of information about me that I did not want online. Here's how it works. You sign up and provide DeleteMe with exactly what information you want deleted, and their experts take it from there. I cannot tell you how relieved I felt to have DeleteMe. And you know, it's also a great service for your parents or grandparents to help protect them from identity theft. DeleteMe is not just a one-time service. DeleteMe is always working for you, constantly monitoring and removing the personal information you do not want on the internet. Take control of your data and keep your private life private by signing up for DeleteMe, now at a special price for my listeners. Today, get 20% off your DeleteMe plan when you go to joindeleteme.com/ETM and use promo code ETM at checkout. The only way you get 20% off is to go to joindeleteme.com/ETM and enter code ETM at checkout. joindeleteme.com/ETM. Go to joindeleteme.com/ETM and use code ETM for 20% off. The weather is getting warmer. I'm so excited, and it is time to say goodbye to all those jackets and sweaters and hello to the shorts and t-shirts. I wanted to update my summer workout wardrobe for the long haul without, you know, spending a fortune. Luckily, I found Quince, and I am in love. Quince is your go-to place from everything from premium European linen dresses, blouses, and shorts from $30, washable silk tops, timeless 14-karat gold jewelry, and so much more. The best part of all Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of the middleman and passes those savings on to you. And Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes. I love that. Okay, I bought the dreamiest pair of workout leggings and a bright pink workout top to match. Honestly, ladies, I gotta tell you, these leggings you need. The price cannot be beat, and I feel like a million bucks wearing this cozy workout friendly outfit. I've worn it for like 5 days straight. Get warm weather ready with Quince. Go to quince.com/ETM for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/ETM to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/ETM. All right, so we got number one nailed down, right? You're not so unique. You're not so different. The next one is something, again, that feels very common sense, but it's the idea that your cash is going to ebb and flow through your life. And often, again, when you least expect it, it doesn't, you know, these curveballs, they come in all shapes and sizes and they don't discriminate. And they usually come when you don't want them to come, like when you've just bought a brand new couch and used all of your cash and now your emergency savings is low and oh, there's a curveball that comes in. Or it could be you have this amazing job, you're making an amazing income, and then you get laid off and you're like, oh crap, what in the world am I going to do now? And oh, by the way, they're not going to give you any severance. Okay. You know, it's these curveballs that really throw a monkey wrench and obviously add a lot of undue anxiety and stress. But I think having people you can call to help you figure your way through whatever curveball, whatever ebb and flow you're in is really priceless. And whether that's a financial planner that you work with, whether that's an accountant, whether that's just a friend who's been through a lot of stuff and you're able to have a really open and honest conversation with them, it's really, I have found it to be such a valuable asset, because when you're able to just connect human to human with somebody, especially around finances, the subject that's kind of taboo that we don't talk about, it's like having a therapy dog, if you will. It's just a really great human experience. Even if the other person has never been through what you've been through, I found that connection to be extraordinarily helpful. But I think really understanding that, I think I used to do this when I was in my early 20s. I was like, man, things are going great, right? I bought a house at 24, had saved a lot of money in 401k, was growing in income. Like, things are just, you know what? They're ticking along and they're going to keep going up and up and up and up. And I naively thought that that was just the way that life works. And for some people, it does. I'm not going to lie. For some people, it does. But for 98% of people, there is some point in time where some curveball or something comes into the mix that shakes it all up, where you have to make a decision, where you have to move, where you have to choose between some alternatives that don't look good, that you don't know what to choose from. And that's where having those people in place, and then also having just an understanding of, all right, this is going to happen. This happens to everybody. It really does. Again, we don't talk about it. I don't, you know, broadcast in neon all the things. You're like, oh man, I had a really crappy week, so I'm just going to go and tell everybody. We don't do that. We live in a Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, Snapchat world where we only share the good stuff. Some of us share not so good stuff, but you know what I mean. I found this really awesome quote from Winston Churchill I wanted to share with you. The quote says, success consists of going from failure to failure without loss of enthusiasm. And I thought this was so poignant because it's what I felt my financial journey was in my 30s. It was going from, ooh, that didn't work, or ooh, that really hurt, or man, that was really expensive, but I gotta keep going. There has to be some enthusiasm. And hopefully I have brought that to you in the podcast, is you got to keep going, like one step, one foot in front of the next. And you never know what could happen. You never know what opportunity can open up. And, you know, not say that that's going to happen every single day or every single time you have a curveball, but keeping that sense of enthusiasm that it's okay, you're not unique, and that your money's going to ebb and flow. I think another thing that nobody really tells you about money is there's never enough. Again, sounds so obvious, but we don't talk about that enough. We talk about, okay, you're going to put so much in your retirement plan, and then this one magical day, you're going to have all this money, and then you can float off to the fairyland that you want to live in, you know, that you can have that fairy tale. And you can, absolutely. But there's never enough. There's never enough money. You reach a plateau or a goal at work in terms of your income, and then you think, what's next? What's the next plateau I can hit? I think that's good. That's good. I think it's good to have that kind of motivation, that kind of thinking, because then you're never satisfied with where you're at. And I don't mean that in a bad way, because I think you really do have to be satisfied with your situation. You have to at least come to some place of peace about where you're at, but also with a healthy striving towards what's next. Is there another skill I can get? Is there another connection I can make? Is there some way I can keep making this better? Can I get some sort of side hustle? Or what's that that idea I've always had in my head? How do I launch that? I was with a couple who was in their early 80s, I believe, if I remember correctly. And I said, you know, they'd been very successful. They had owned a business. They had invested in rental real estate. They'd just been really, really successful, very savvy with their money. And I said, gosh, like, what would you tell a 20-year-old, a 30-year-old today that you've learned? And that's what they said. They said, there's never enough. There's never enough money. There's never the exact right moment. They said a lot of these things that they realize that money's going to come and go. Sometimes they're going to be really flush. Sometimes they're not. And if they put their entire definition of wealth in the actual dollar amount, they probably never would have been happy. They probably would have been miserable. And they learned that the never enough was okay. They could be okay with that. And that they could figure out a place where enough was enough, and they would just make a decision to stop working or to sell their business or to do whatever goal they had in mind. And I think that that's really important to realize when you're in the hustle and bustle and you're trying to put as much money as you can away for retirement and you're trying to fund all these goals and you're trying to make your money stretch in all of these ways that sometimes it doesn't feel like it's stretching in that particular way, to just go, all right, you know, I'm going to do the best that I can with what I've got, knowing that there's never enough. And that's okay. That's okay. It's okay that there's never enough, but I'm going to keep going. I'm going to keep doing. And somehow what I've got is going to get me where I want to go. So there's a responsibility element in that too, because I find a lot of people say to me, well, then why would I invest, or why would I buy a house, or why would I do anything if there's never going to be enough? Well, it's because you are consistently refining your vision. You're constantly refining what you want your life to look like. And so the money piece will come alongside that. So there's a responsibility element in it that you got to do something. You got to do your part, but also realizing that it's okay. You don't have to hit $3 million in your retirement account to live a good life, or do you have options in life? So it's the responsibility piece with also taking a little bit of stress off of you and realizing, like, okay, a lot of those articles that say, oh, I should have saved double my income by the time I'm 30. Just throw that out the window. Please just throw that article out the window, because it's not true. It's not true for everyone. And sometimes it's going to work, and sometimes it's not going to work, and that's totally okay. And I think the last thing is, you know, knowing what you're spending your cash on will be your greatest weapon ever. And we talk a lot about knowing your numbers. A lot of the guests on this podcast have talked to you about the importance of knowing your numbers, of knowing where your expenses are going, but it really is, honestly, it is the greatest weapon ever, because it gives you total empowerment over your bank account, total empowerment over your goals, over how you direct your money. Even if you feel like you don't have a lot of money, it is so incredibly powerful. And, you know, the idea of paying off debt and never having debt again, it totally sounds like a dream. And you might be in that position where you've paid off all your debt, and high five to you, kudos to you. That is such an amazing goal, but it doesn't always make sense. It doesn't fit for everyone. Some of the most savviest people that I know have learned how to leverage what I call cheap debt, inexpensive debt, debt where the interest rate is pretty darn close to 0%. Buying a car these days, interest rates are pretty close to 0% if you have a good credit score. Buying a house, interest rates pretty close to 0% if you look at historical averages. If you're borrowing money to pay off expensive credit card debt, pretty inexpensive debt to borrow to do so. It's sometimes the option of even using all my cash or taking on some debt. Sometimes debt wins. Sometimes it actually makes more sense. And, you know, I think the having no debt does not equal perfection. It's not the definition of success when it comes to your finances. For some people, it is your goal, it is absolutely what you're striving for. And again, if that's you and you're in that situation, that's great. Stay focused on that. But if you're listening and you're saying, that's not my goal, or that's not what makes sense to me, then throw that wisdom out, because it doesn't count. And I think the last thing is just, you know, debt sucks. It's draining. It's mentally draining. It's physically draining. It can suck the life out of you. But sometimes you need debt to grow. Sometimes you need it to grow your business. If you run your own business, sometimes you need it to grow your career. Maybe you need to get a whole new outfit in order to impress a new company you're trying to get a job with. I don't know, whatever it may be, right? Maybe you need to take on debt to change where you live or to start a family. Maybe infertility is an issue and you got to take on some debt. I mean, there are so many different reasons why people need to take on debt, but these are decisions you get to make. It's your decision. It's your choice. And at the end of the day, it's nobody's business but yours. As long as you have a plan in place for how you're going to tackle that debt, who cares? It doesn't make you a bad person. And it's not the definition of not being successful. So these may again seem really easy, really common sense. Like, of course I know this stuff, but honestly, I tell you across the board, no matter somebody's age, no matter their background or demographic or any of those factors I talk about, this is really the stuff that nobody tells you about money that most people learn, that most people have to struggle with. And when they can find a place where they can feel at peace about some of the things, it doesn't make it easier. I'm not going to lie to you and tell you that any of this makes it easier, especially if you're in one of those crazy curveball situations. But having the understanding that most people have either been where you're at, or they're going to be where you're at, or they're exactly where you're at, maybe opens up some freedom to allow you to talk about finances, think about your money in a different way than maybe you had before. As always, you can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Shauna Game. And if you love this podcast, I'd love for you to do me a favor. Share it with your friends, shout it out on social media, make them subscribe on their phone, and head over to that link in the show notes to leave us a review.